like to do, Ben. Hello, friend, and welcome once again in that wonderful, matchless name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Oh yes, beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ alone can satisfy the hunger and the thirst of the human spirit. He alone can come into our life and deliver us from the bondage of sin, liberate and set us free, and bring us into the family of God, and make new people out of us. And, O beloved, he does all of that when we open our heart to him, when we acknowledge that we're a sinner, when we ask him to come in and forgive us for our sin, that we believe he died on that old rugged cross in our place, that he was buried, that he arose from the grave, and that he lives today, seated at the right hand of God the Father. And we say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Come into my spirit. Deliver me from the bondage of sin. Make me pure and clean with your shed blood. When we tell him we believe that he died for our sin, was buried and arose from the grave, he will hear our prayer and transform and change our life. I know, beloved, because I well remember when he did that for me over 75 years ago, when I opened my heart to the Lord Jesus, and he heard my young cry, and came into my spirit, and gave me his salvation, and he's never failed me, nor forsaken me. I've failed him a lot of times, and In our last broadcast, I made a blunder, and I get in a hurry sometimes, and so sometimes I say things that I didn't mean to say, and that's why I want to go back to the book of Hebrews again. I want to look into the Word of God in Hebrews chapter 2, and we were talking about the scope of spiritual authority, and how that the Lord has given us authority to some extent now, and we will have even more authority in the future. We're in the book of Hebrews, chapter 2. Remember, context is king. You always want to read a scripture in context to explain its meaning according to what the context explains. And so here in Hebrews chapter 2, and let me begin with verse 6. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 6. But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him, man, a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all things in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now, and I want you to notice this last phrase, but now we see not yet all things put under him. Now the Lord's talking about what's in store for the believer in the future, for we human beings who have put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. At one time there in the Garden of Eden, God gave man authority over creation. But you remember Satan took that authority away when he got man to do what he told him to do. And when he took away that authority, and he became the god of this world system. And so we read that there's coming a day when the Lord is going to restore man to that position of authority. And over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we read about that glorious resurrection and that glorious future that is in store for every child of God. In 1 Corinthians 15:42, he's talking about the resurrection of our physical bodies. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam, which was Jesus Christ, was made a quickening, life-giving spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. Now, you remember what we're told over in the Gospel of John when Jesus spoke to Nicodemus and said, you must be born again. You remember Nicodemus was thinking about physical terms, but Jesus was speaking in spiritual terms. And he explained to Nicodemus, when Nicodemus said, you mean I have to go through the natural process of birth again? And the Lord said, no, that's not what I'm talking about. He said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's physical birth. But that which is born of the Holy Spirit... Pardon me. Sometimes this old body gives me trouble. That's why I'm looking forward to my glorified body. Pardon me. I got a frog in my throat. I'm looking forward to that glorified body that we've just been reading about, that spiritual body that will not have any of the deficiencies and the weaknesses of this physical body. And there in John chapter 3 and verse 6, Jesus explained to Nicodemus, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. So spiritual birth is what Jesus was speaking about, and that's what is meant by the second birth. And so he's talking about the physical body compared to the future spiritual body that the believer will be given. And in that spiritual body, there will be no sin, and there will be no corruption, and there will be no decay. And in that spiritual body, it will be a body of power. Power to do things that we're incapable of doing in this physical body. Power to serve God in ways that we're incapable of serving Him at the present time. Now notice what he says here. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual. This is verse 46 of 1 Corinthians 15, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. That's Adam. The second man is the Lord from heaven. That's the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. Talking about us in our physical body. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. As we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. Oh, beloved, here's a mystery. Do you love mystery? Well, here's a mystery. He's going to reveal a wonderful spiritual mystery unto us. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. And he's talking about the death of a believer. The death of a believer, beloved, is not a horrible thing, for Jesus took the sting out of death. And so for the believer to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. It's a glorious graduation day from this old earth suit into our spiritual body, our heavenly body. And so he says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. That is, all believers are not going to die. But we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And beloved, that's said to be 1/200th of a second. I mean, so quick you can't imagine it. As quickly as you blink your eye, and you do it over and over again during the daytime and don't think anything about it. In the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. We in our physical body will be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. And so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh yes, beloved, Jesus took the stinger of sin for us. And now, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The best is yet to come. Till next time, goodbye.